This is your WWE Fastlane 2021 review here for Sunday, March 21st, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. This was the first pay-per-view of the Peacock era. How was it? I wouldn't know. I tried to watch it on Peacock. It didn't work out for me. I tried to get it to work. I have a spare laptop I use to watch these pay-per-views so I can work on this computer, watch it on the other one, and it wouldn't let me log into Peacock. It was telling me that I had no internet connection, even though I did clearly have an internet connection. So I said, you know what? The hell with this. So I ended up watching this pay-per-view on the network. This was the final WWE pay-per-view on the network here in the U.S., the network as it currently exists. It is going away in a few weeks, and that is unfortunate. I did hear from a lot of people who had a perfectly fine experience on Peacock and others not so much. But this was a pay-per-view. Going into it, I said, you know, on the podcast, I said on the prediction show, this was a completely unnecessary show. But this was a show that was designed to work out the kinks on Peacock before they move on to WrestleMania. WrestleMania, obviously, is going to be their crown jewel. And if there were any issues here, they would be able to work them out. Coming off of this pay-per-view, they would know what they need to fix. That's really, I think, the only reason this event even existed, was to work out any of the issues that they had with people streaming on Peacock. And you could tell, because there ended up being some really good matches on the show there towards the end, in the final hour of the show. But this show was not needed. This show was not necessary at all. The first hour of this show dragged. It was awful. This pay-per-view was headed into the fucking toilet after that first hour. But then the key matches at the end of the show, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, had a hell of a fight. They had a hell of a brawl all over the Thunderdome in a match that would have meant a lot more if there was something on the line. Unfortunately, there was nothing on the line. It was just a grudge match between two guys. Drew McIntyre had already punched his ticket to WrestleMania. And how did he do that? By just announcing the fact that he would be challenging Bobby Lashley. But they had a very good match. Main event, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan. An outcome that I think everybody saw coming from 3 miles away, but they had a very good match. So the two key matches on this show delivered. Everything else on this show, honestly, pretty much bored me. And we're going to get into the Randy Orton, Alexa Bliss stuff with The Fiend and everything. Did The Fiend make an appearance on this show? I didn't think he would. I thought maybe they would hold off until WrestleMania, keep people guessing about what The Fiend might look like when he comes back. But the two key matches on this show did deliver. Everything else was very underwhelming, including the Intercontinental title match, which is one of the matches I was looking forward to most coming into this show. In fact, that was probably the match I was most looking forward to after the Universal title match. And I don't know what the hell happened with that finish. It looked like a botch. We'll get into exactly what happened. I'd be very surprised to find out that that was the planned finish, that it went off exactly as they intended. Now, Peacock, I said I was planning on watching the pay-per-view on Peacock, and I figured what I would do is give you guys a report on how the viewing experience was. And I know there were a lot of people who said that it looked just fine. The one major complaint that I saw, even from people who had a perfectly fine viewing experience, is that you cannot pause, rewind, or start from the beginning, which is something you could do on the WWE Network, and I think on a lot of other streaming services. You can't do that on Peacock, at least not yet. I'm hoping that is a feature by WrestleMania that they will implement. I will not hold my breath. It could take a lot longer than that. But that's a very useful feature for a lot of people, and I know a lot of people are very upset about that. So that is something to be aware of where Peacock is concerned. Now, there was one other thing that happened on this show tonight that I actually have to give praise to, although this was something that was inevitable. If you have been listening to me talk about Retribution now for many, many months on the podcast, going all the way back to last summer when we first saw them pop up on the scene on Monday Night Raw, this group was doomed to failure. Doomed to failure. I knew it. You knew it. Your cat knew it. Your dog knew it. Your chinchilla knew it. How WWE couldn't figure it out. Who knows? They're not always the brightest bunch. So we had months of Retribution on television, months of Mustafa Ali trying his hardest to make this thing work, cutting some pretty good promos. He'd be sitting in the dugout at Tropicana Field, just him and a camera. He's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. He is trying so hard to make this thing work because it's all that he has. He was sitting at home doing nothing a year ago. It took them 7 months to figure out what they wanted to do with him. He found out, by the way, the day that he was made the leader of Retribution. You know when he found out? That day. So that tells you how much, you know, long-term planning went into Mustafa Ali being the leader of Retribution. Not even Ali and his in-ring talents could save this pile of shit. It has done nothing but stall and harm the careers of those involved. This is a stain that is going to take a long time to wipe clean. But there is hope, because tonight Ali was scheduled to wrestle Matt Riddle for the United States Championship. Even though Ali lost to Matt Riddle on TV last week, he was gifted a rematch, because why not? So we had Ali and Riddle, and the one thing going into it is you think, well, Matt Riddle and Ali one-on-one, at least we have the potential for a really good wrestling match, right? That's something to look forward to. And they went in there tonight and they had a good match. I thought it got much better in the final few minutes. We had Riddle hitting a powerbomb into the final flash for a near fall. Ali went for a tornado DDT. Riddle rolled through, hit a fisherman buster. Ali locked on the Koji clutch. Riddle escaped, selling an arm injury though. Riddle climbed to the top rope. Ali cut him off. Riddle fought back, hit a super bro Derek from the middle rope down onto the mat and scored the three count for the win. So, yeah, and I called that in my predictions. I said, Matt Riddle will win again. This result will be no different than the result that we got on TV last week. But maybe there were some signs of maybe a crack in the foundation. Maybe we would see at least the beginnings of a split in Retribution. And we got a lot more than that. Ali was beside himself after this loss, and he was chewing out the members of Retribution. He was flipping out and yelling at them for not helping him, and Ali singled out Reckoning, Mia Yim, who stepped forward, and he told her to fall back in line. Reckoning walked out. She walked out on Ali. And then we had Slapjack, and he walked out on Ali, and Ali is yelling at him, and now he's yelling at Mace and T-Bar, and they look at each other and they decide to give Ali a double choke slam. They leave him laying and they walk off together. And so just like that, Retribution appears to be no more. And this was obviously the best possible outcome here, but it is months too late. I mean, I hope it's not too late for their careers, but for us, the viewing audience, this move is months too late. Because we knew months ago that this thing just wasn't going to work. And it wasn't going to work because the way it was presented on television, these guys were never presented as any sort of real threat, except the one week where they had chainsaws in their hand. They were never presented as anything but a joke. They looked like a joke. They were booked like a joke. They were booked like losers. I bet you look back at their win-loss record, they lost a lot more than they won. If you want to book a faction that people are going to take as a serious threat, you need to win more than you lose. This is not rocket science. That doesn't make me a genius. It's common fucking sense. And unfortunately, common sense didn't really have a whole lot to do with Retribution. So now they realize that they made a mistake, begrudgingly. As stubborn as they have been, they have finally acknowledged that this thing is a failure, it is not working, and we have to abandon ship. And so I look at the members of Retribution, and we all know that Mercedes Martinez got out when the going was good. Whatever her reasons were, she made the right move. For her career, she made the right move. But we look at the other members here, and, you know, I look at Dijak and I look at Mace, the former Dio Madden, who I think could be somebody. He's got the size. He does have personality, especially if you follow him on social media. There's something there with him. Donovan Dijak, Dijakovic, call him whatever you want. We know he's a talented guy. Is he a little vanilla and plain maybe in the personality department? Sure. This wasn't the answer. I can understand them wanting to do something to give this guy some more personality and charisma. Although with charisma, you don't give someone charisma, you either have it or you don't. But this wasn't the way to go. This was not the way to go. I look at Dijak, I look at Mace, and I think the best solution for the both of them, honestly, shed their masks, shed their names, but keep them together as a tag team. And it serves a couple of purposes. The main roster could definitely, and either brand, could definitely use more legitimate, actual, full-time tag teams. These two, I think, two big guys, could be a formidable tag team, either in the Raw tag team division or the SmackDown tag team division. So you keep them together, you have them do the tag team thing for a while. That is your way of reintroducing them to the audience. And look, eventually they can split off as singles. You start out as a team, and eventually all teams break up. So that's what I would do with those two. Mia Yim, I think, would be a fine addition to the women's division on either show. You know, they might want to keep her on Raw where Keith Lee is, but Keith Lee right now is nowhere to be found. Who knows what's going to happen with Keith Lee? But Mia Yim in either women's division would be a fine, solid addition to the roster. Shane Thorne, I would send him back to NXT. I don't see an obvious spot for him on the main roster. If he stays on the main roster, he's going to be a job guy. I mean, that's just it. Plain and simple. You know, with the people they have on the roster right now that they don't even know what to do with them, there's no room for Shane Thorne right now. Best thing for him to do would be to hope to go back to NXT. And then you have Ali. Ali, very good wrestler. I think a better babyface than a heel. I hope that he will land on his feet and that his career can be saved from the stench that is Retribution. I hope. That is my hope. The pay-per-view opened with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending the women's tag team titles against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. I see Ken terminated with one of the super chats, said, quote from JR, what was it, Retribution? The quote was, Retribution is a stain on the underwear of life. I've heard him use that before. I've actually heard him use something similar for Paul Heyman. I think he called him a hemorrhoid on the ass of life once. I like that one better. But it's true. I mean, that's really what Retribution has been. It has been a stain. And I hope they can recover. Pay-per-view open, as I said, with the women's tag team titles on the line. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair challenging Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Reginald was back. Oh, joy. Reginald was back. I didn't even know he was missing. He was back with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. If he was missing, I could tell you he wasn't missed. Bianca hit a 450 splash. Bianca was in the ring for quite a while early on. She was in the ring for most of the match, those first several minutes. She hits a 450 splash to Shayna Baszler, who there were a couple of wonky spots with Baszler in this match, but 450 to her, had the match won when Reginald jumps up on the apron for the distraction. And Sasha Banks goes after Reginald. She tags into the match, and Sasha locks Shayna in the bank statement. Bianca sees Nia Jax coming in to attempt to interrupt the move, and so Bianca is trying to protect her partner. She gets into the ring. She goes after Nia Jax. Nia shoves Bianca backwards, and Bianca collides with Sasha, which in turn breaks up the move. It breaks up the bank statement. Sasha's very upset. She calls Belair a rookie, says that I had the match won, and Bianca goes to walk out on her partner when all of a sudden Sasha is rolled up from behind by Shayna Baszler, the dreaded roll-up, and Shayna Baszler pins the SmackDown Women's Champion to retain the titles. Bianca tried to make the save, but she was too late. They lose the match, and the two of them have words when the match is over. Sasha tells Bianca the loss was all her fault. And when Bianca tried to clap back at Sasha, Sasha smacked the shit out of this woman. She rocked her so hard that she knocked her back. I mean, the look on her face, that's going to be a meme. She rocked Bianca, and Bianca went down. She kind of staggered backwards. She laid that in real good. I'll say this much. Sasha, you know, when certain things that she does, she makes her shit look good. She did not hold back on that slap. Stephanie McMahon would be proud of that slap. Sasha walked away. But instead of going after her, right? So this woman is her WrestleMania opponent. And she just embarrassed her in front of hundreds of thousands of people. Got smacked right in the face. I could think of no greater offense. You would think that she would go after Sasha Banks. She'd be very upset about this, and she would go after Sasha. Maybe there'd be like a big pull-apart brawl or something, but that was not the case here. The force field rule was in effect. We see this very often in WWE, the force field rule, where one is trapped in the ring, I guess, and is unable to simply leave and go after their opponent, even though their opponent is standing right there in the aisleway. There's Sasha, standing in the aisle, holding up her title, smirking. And all Bianca could do, because the force field, of course, was in effect, it rendered her unable to exit the ring, and all she could do was just look up at the WrestleMania sign and smile. Yet again, Reginald factors into this program, and I gotta tell you, I don't think WWE could have done a worse job than what they have done, building up this SmackDown Women's title match, a match that I was really looking forward to, and I still think it's going to be a very good match. I'm still looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it or as excited about it in the way that I should be. Reginald has nothing to do with any of this. And I know that they're using him as a tool. They're kind of using him as a means to an end to drive a wedge between Sasha and Bianca. But there are a million different ways you could have gone about doing this without involving fucking Reginald in the middle of this feud. And now they've, you know, transitioned over to, you're a rookie. You're just a rookie. You're a rook. But the involvement of Reginald and what they have done so far has been completely underwhelming. I really don't think they could have done a more horrible job in promoting what should be one of the bigger matches on the WrestleMania card this year. Which is disappointing. Not surprising, but it is disappointing to see. I feel like I should be more excited about this match than I am, and it's not any of their fault. It's all owed to the buildup so far. 100%. They showed us a still photo of Shane McMahon earlier in the ring today. He was training. He suffered some sort of leg injury. Injury, put in air quotes. Which put his match with Braun Strowman in jeopardy. Now, this was a match that I wasn't even sure it was taking place. They had originally announced the match for Fastlane, and then it was, all mentions of it were removed from WWE.com. You couldn't find a mention of it there. You couldn't find a mention of it anywhere on their social media. It was, all the mentions that were there were scrubbed and were taken down, which makes sense because you knew this match was going to happen at WrestleMania. So why do it at Fastlane? So they announced it, then they didn't announce it, but then they did. I guess the match was supposed to take place, but Shane was claiming an injury. So back live, he's walking around in the back. He's got a crutch underneath his arm. When he is approached by Elias and Jackson Ryker, and Elias is telling him that he really wants someone to wrestle, and Shane is kind of annoyed by him, and then he thinks about it, and he says, you know, I have an idea. And then they go off, and that was the segment. This here was one of the matches, one of the two matches, really, I was looking forward to on this show. Big E defending the Intercontinental title against Apollo Crews. I have very much enjoyed what they have done with these two on television. Just to show you that I don't just, you know, think everything going into WrestleMania this year is shit. Believe it or not, there actually are a few things that they've done right. This is one of them. I've been enjoying the new attitude and the new persona for Apollo Crews. That accent is going to take a while to get used to, but whatever. You know, he's doing the best job with it that he can. This is the new and improved heel Apollo Crews, who actually is having well, I was going to say having the best run of his career, but he really doesn't have anything yet to show for it. I think he will at WrestleMania. He certainly didn't tonight. Now, I was not expecting a title change here. I was kind of hoping they wouldn't do a title change, but what they did, this ain't what I was expecting. And this ain't what I was hoping for. I was hoping for a competitive match that would give us, you know, a pretty good sense of what we could expect at WrestleMania when they would either do the title change or just have Big E beat him decisively. But I was figuring a no contest or a DQ or a count out or something after, you know, whatever, 10 or 12 minutes of a solid match. Right out of the gate, Big E hits Apollo with a spear through the ropes down to the floor. Big E hits a splash on the apron. He's yelling at Apollo, "This is what you wanted. Now you know what this is about." Hits a second apron splash. Big E gives Apollo two belly-to-belly suplexes. He goes for a splash in the corner. Cruz goes after Big E's knee. And Cruz takes over, hits three rolling Germans. Hits a frog splash for a near fall. Cruz goes for a standing moonsault. Big E gets his knees up. And Big E misses a charge in the corner. He goes shoulder first into the ring post. Apollo goes for a powerbomb. Big E slips out, tries for the big ending, and Apollo avoids that. So then we get to the finish. This was only maybe barely 5 minutes, if that, into the match. It was very sudden. It came out of nowhere. Big E tries for an inside cradle, and Apollo goes to reverse it, and it looked like Big E shifted his weight and bridged and seemingly pinned Apollo Crews, is what it looked like. Whether that was the intent or not, I don't know. It looked very sloppy. Jessica Carr was the referee for the match. She counted three, called for the bell, immediately bolted out of the ring like she was Earl Hebner in Montreal. The car is waiting. The engine is running. You better get out of here. So she disappeared out to the floor, and everybody just generally looked very confused. The announcers were very confused. Corey Graves, you know, looked like there was a pin, but I don't know. It was very, very awkward. Very, very sloppily done, if this was their intent. I cannot imagine this went off the way that they intended. This just screamed botch. Maybe they were going for a double pin. I don't know. Even if that was supposed to be the finish, it was so sudden, it came out of nowhere. There was still a lot of juice left. You know, I understand they're going to run the match back again at WrestleMania. You don't want to, you know, put out a 20-minute classic. But what we got here was extremely underwhelming and not very good. You know, the little bursts that we saw from Big E and Apollo were good, but they were, you know, a minute long. So I don't know exactly what happened here. This definitely looked like a botch. Awful finish. Awful finish. I wasn't, you know, hoping for a title change here. I am hoping for one at WrestleMania. I think Apollo should go in there and he should win the championship from Big E, and I was hoping they would save it for WrestleMania, and it looks like maybe that's what they're going to do. But my issue is, you know, Big E and Apollo have already had a whole series of matches going back a few months, and Apollo has lost most, if not all, of those matches, right? He has been a loser. That's part of what led to this new character and this heel turn. So we finally got this new Apollo Crews. And what does he do? He goes in there tonight and he loses. Botch or not, that is not what you should be doing with Apollo Crews right now. And if he is going to lose, well, sucks for him, because that's pretty much the end for him. If they go to WrestleMania and he loses, then that's it. Big E moves on to the next person, and I don't know what you do with Apollo Crews. So for his sake, he better hope that he's booked to win at WrestleMania. You've got this new character. You're gaining steam every single week, right? He's putting out some of the best promo work that he's done. I think you can keep this going, but you got to at some point give him something. You've got to give him something. And if they just beat him, then he's dead. And this new character is dead. But what happened here, this was extremely disappointing. This was a terrible, terrible finish. After the match, Apollo attacked Big E. If it was a botch, he was thinking quick on his feet. He grabbed Big E and gave him a whole series of angle slams, and he was smacking him around, and he was yelling at him. So Apollo tried to save it as best he could. He stormed off. But, you know, at the end of the day, he still lost. And unfortunately, the match was so brief with such a terrible finish, it never got out of full gear. So this was the biggest disappointment on this entire pay-per-view. I mentioned Shane McMahon a little while ago. He was supposed to wrestle Braun Strowman, but after his injury, his grand idea, he was in the ring with Elias, his grand idea was to surprise Elias with the announcement that, guess what? You're going to be my replacement. Elias didn't like that very much. Out comes the slime guy, Slimer. Braun Strowman came out. Didn't look very happy. So we got the old bait and switch that WWE loves to give us. They dust it off every now and then. Nice little bait and switch. Not that anybody was buying this pay-per-view to see Braun Strowman against Shane McMahon. I'd be willing to bet money on that. But here comes Braun Strowman. They had what I could best describe as a Raw match. It went 3 minutes, which, you know what? Thank God. Thank God it went 3 minutes. That's 2 minutes longer than it should have gone. Not because I have no interest in seeing Braun Strowman against Elias. I don't. But the last time we saw Braun Strowman on Monday night, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed. He was literally slimed by Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon had two buckets of green paint. I don't know what he was. I don't know what the symbolism of that was. If he was trying to, maybe he was trying to tell Braun Strowman that he's, he's a green worker. I still am wondering what the significance of the green slime is. Am I watching Nickelodeon? What am I watching here? He slimed this guy. If I'm Braun Strowman, I'm coming out there, and it's not taking me more than 30 seconds to put this guy in the ground. But this thing went about 3 or 4 minutes. I don't get it. This guy should have been like a bull in a china shop out there. And they actually gave Elias some offense. Big elbow off the top rope. Jackson Ryker tried to help Elias, but it backfired. Ryker distracted Strowman. Later on, Elias got some offense, hit a DDT and an elbow, like I said. Braun rocked Elias with a hard clothesline, hit the running power slam for the win. The less said about this, the better. We know we're getting Braun and Shane at WrestleMania. We know that Shane is probably jumping off the pirate ship or doing something crazy. Poor Kevin Owens. All Kevin Owens wanted to do last year and this year now, he wants to jump off the pirate ship that's in the back of Raymond James Stadium. And I think Kevin Owens now is resigned to the fact that Shane McMahon is probably going to be the one to fall off or jump off the pirate ship, and it won't be him. You know what? One of the saddest things that I've heard in the last few weeks is, I'm trying to think who he was. Oh, he was on the, I think he was on the bump. I think Kevin Owens was on the bump. Thank you, Tanya, for the super chat. There's Seth Rollins. That's what I thought of the first hour or so of this pay-per-view. That's what I thought of Braun Strowman against Elias right there. That was my reaction. But Kevin Owens, I want to say it was on the bump. And he talked about this. And he said, you know, his goal was to jump off the pirate ship at WrestleMania. That's all he wants to do. And now recently, it's changed. And his goal isn't to jump off the pirate ship at WrestleMania. His goal is to be on WrestleMania. It's just to have a match at WrestleMania. And I just thought, that's so sad. Because he's been in the same situation before. He was in the same position 2 years ago. And I think he missed WrestleMania that year. WrestleMania 35. I think came back right after, I believe. After, I think he may have been told or promised that he was going to be in the title match that year. And he wasn't. Went to Kofi Kingston instead, which was a much better story, but he kind of got screwed over. And Owens is one of these guys. He's an MVP in a lot of ways for this company, but he tends to fall through the cracks. But he's coming off this long feud with Roman Reigns, and they did everything they could possibly do. He lost pretty much every single time. So his run for the title was over and done with, but they don't have anything better for him. And so now it looks like he's going to have a match with Sami Zayn. So at least he'll have something to do at WrestleMania. Here we go again. Fight forever. Fight forever. Right? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But I feel when I heard him talking about that, I'm like, what a sad sack. I feel bad for the guy. He wanted to do something. He wanted to do this big, elaborate thing, and now he's just like begging just to have a match on the card. Meanwhile, Shane McMahon's got a match. He's got a match against Braun Strowman. And Kevin Owens is just, he's just hoping that he could find work on April 10th or April 11th. Please, just give me some scraps. Just give me something to do. I just want to go to work. Seth Rollins against Shinsuke Nakamura. Thank you, by the way, to everybody. We've had a whole bunch of people sign up as members. Again, you can hit that join button down below. All the perks will be listed. You want to be among the first to join our family here on YouTube. And I'll get to your super chats in a second. Seth Rollins against Nakamura. Seth Rollins is headed for a match with Cesaro. That much seems pretty obvious at WrestleMania. Nakamura, former tag team partners with Cesaro. Cesaro's good buddy. Trying to stick up for his friend. That is what has led to where we were tonight. Rollins was dominating early on, kept yelling, 22 times he swung me. 22 times. That was when Cesaro gave him the giant swing on TV a few weeks ago, which looked great. Nakamura got Rollins in an armbar, had Rollins hanging over the apron at one point, caught him with a running knee to the head. Rollins came back with a springboard flying knee a few minutes later. Nakamura caught Rollins with a kick right into that sliding German he does in the ropes. And he set up for the Kinshasa. Rollins caught him, powerbombed him up for a buckle bomb. Rollins followed up with a Falcon Arrow for a near fall. Went for the curb stomp, but Nakamura cut him off. Hit a Falcon Arrow of his own for a near fall. Nakamura set up again for the Kinshasa, but Seth Rollins stepped aside, rolled him up, and Rollins connected with a kick to the head and hit the stomp for the win. Straightforward match. No Cesaro. He was nowhere to be found. This was good. This was good, but it really is nothing that you need to go out of your way to see. These two have had better matches. This was not, though, about giving Nakamura really any shine. That's not what this was about. It was about heating up Rollins and giving Rollins a tune-up match heading into the battle with Cesaro at WrestleMania. So, sucks for Nakamura, but you know what? I said earlier on the podcast today, episode 696, very happy that Cesaro is finally going to have what I believe will be his first major singles match at WrestleMania. Think about how long he's been in the company. I believe this might be his 10th year in WWE. I could be wrong, but I want to say 2011 is when he first made his debut. He's been in tag team matches. He's been in battle royals. Up to now, the biggest moment he's ever had at WrestleMania was WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans when he body slammed Big Show out of the ring in the Andre Battle Royal. That was a fantastic moment. And you really had hope and optimism that it was going to lead to something special for Cesaro. Look at the reaction he got in New Orleans that night at the Superdome, coming out on TV the next night, managed by Paul Heyman, which was a little weird because the fans had effectively turned him babyface, and by putting him with Heyman, he basically went back to being a heel. But you're thinking, okay, they're linking him up as a Heyman guy. This has got to be something good, right? This has got to mean good things for his career. Oh, my goodness. Poor naive Jason allowed himself to fall victim once again to all that great hope and optimism. That was a more optimistic Sala monster, just a little bit. A little more optimistic back then. Now I'm very jaded. You know, life now. Wrestling has conditioned me not to be so optimistic about these things. Cesaro got no such push and really hasn't done much of anything of note since. He's been in a bunch of tag teams. So I am under no illusions that this WrestleMania will be any different. He will probably lose. And even if he wins, it's not going to go anywhere. So, I mean, I pretty much am resigned to that. But I am happy that he will at least be able to get that one big singles match on his resume. I think Rollins and Cesaro could be a kick-ass opener on night one or night two. We've had some pretty classic opening matches at WrestleMania before. We had a great one last year with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. but I'm not expecting it to be any more than that. But this was up to this point, this was the best thing on the show. And that led into what would become the next best thing on the show once it was over, Drew McIntyre against Sheamus. McIntyre came out wearing the Braveheart face paint like Mel Gibson. And McIntyre was all over Sheamus right from the onset. They brawled out to ringside. Sheamus grabbed the kendo stick because, of course, we get the kendo sticks. The most overused prop in all of wrestling. I was going to say dives. I guess dives are not a prop. The dive and the super kick are pretty much neck and neck as the most overused move in all of wrestling. The destroyer is right behind those. But the kendo stick is the most overused prop in all of wrestling, in any and all of the major promotions. I cringe now at the sight of them. Can we please leave the kendo sticks to Hikaru Shida in AEW, since it's part of her gimmick? Can we please give them a rest? I guess in this match, though, what worked is the fact that you've got somebody like Sheamus, who's pasty white, so whenever he gets hit with a kendo stick, or really whenever he gets hit with anything, you have these welts, these red marks all over his body. It makes for a good visual. But he introduced a kendo stick. McIntyre whipped him into the ring steps. That sent one of the pieces of the ring steps flying. McIntyre stomped Sheamus' head onto the bottom part of the ring steps. So they get back in the ring. Sheamus hits McIntyre with the kendo stick over and over and over again. McIntyre bounces back, picks up the kendo stick, and is staring a hole through Sheamus until Sheamus gets back to his feet. McIntyre hits him with the kendo stick over and over again, Russian leg sweep with it, and he jabs the end of the kendo stick down into, or tries to, jab it down into Sheamus's eye. Here we go again with the eye stuff. Now I'm having nightmares and flashbacks to last summer. Poor Aleister Black never recovered from that. Last we saw him, he had the pirate eye patch on. And then we never saw him again. Maybe he can't see. Maybe that's why Aleister Black has not been back on TV. You know, I just figured it out. Now I know why. It's not because they're burying him. It's not because his wife got fired. It's not because they don't like him. It's because he can't see. He can't find his way back to the building. When that happened, they were still at the Performance Center in the empty arena. Now they're at Tropicana Field in the Thunderdome. He's probably walking around Orlando going, where is everybody? Where'd they go? Somebody needs to go find Aleister Black. Both guys end up over by the announce table. McIntyre throws Sheamus off the table into the timekeeper's area. And eventually they fight out into the area where normally there would be fans. And now, of course, there's no one. So they brawl out into the empty arena area. And eventually they make their way over to one of the platforms where the Thunderdome screens are. So they make their way over to where the virtual fans are. And Drew McIntyre slams Sheamus into the screens. And then he throws him through a barricade, right? So again, they're up on this elevated platform. Here are the Thunderdome screens, and then over here is the barricade. He throws Sheamus into the barricade. Sheamus goes through the barricade and goes flying off. And we see sparks. We see this little explosion. Hey, we got a bigger explosion than we got at Revolution. We got more pyro and more of an explosion effect here than we did at the AEW pay-per-view. So there's something. Sheamus was, in fact, not killed nor maimed by the explosion. McIntyre brought him all the way back to the ringside. He was getting ready to put him through the announce table. Sheamus raked the eye, slipped off his shoulders, hit a brogue kick. That brogue kick sent McIntyre over the barricade. Now both men are down. Sheamus climbs over the barricade to go after him, and he's yelling at him, "This should be me. I should be the one going to WrestleMania in the main event." And he picks up McIntyre for white noise, and he gives him white noise through the announce desk. Now both guys are down. Sheamus rolls McIntyre back into the ring. He grabs a piece of the announce desk. It was like the side of the announce desk. And he brings it back into the ring with him. Sheamus tries to go for the Alabama Slam onto that piece of the announce desk. McIntyre counters with the Future Shock DDT onto the debris. And then he follows that up with a Claymore kick for the win. Drew McIntyre picks up the W. Heading into WrestleMania. This was a stiff, brutal match. The usual very good stuff from these two. We've seen these two have a lot of very good matches. They've been, look, I mean, they've been friends for, as you saw in the video package, these guys have been friends their whole lives. They've been friends for over 20 years. They know each other inside out. They're like bros. Bro. These guys are like brothers. They have good chemistry together. And here they were on pay-per-view in a stipulation match, and they had the chance to go out there and beat the holy hell out of each other. And it was a very good match. I didn't expect any less from these two. It's a very good match. Both men had cuts and bruises all over their body. Sheamus had this one nasty gash that opened up on his back. That being said, now that the match is over, and now that we see that Drew McIntyre won the match clean, right in the middle, I have no idea, if Sheamus was not winning, why this was not contested for the spot against Bobby Lashley for the WWE title at WrestleMania. Makes no sense. Instead of just coming on the air like they did Monday night and just announcing the fact that Drew McIntyre was going to face Bobby Lashley, why in the world, if you knew that Drew was going to win anyway, because it was always going to be Drew and Lashley, it wasn't going to be Sheamus and Lashley. Sheamus already wrestled Lashley. That was the main event on Raw Monday night. They wrestled for 20 minutes, and he fucking lost. So, predictable as it may have been, if Sheamus was not going to win, why not put something on the line? Put something tangible on the line beyond this just being a grudge match between two former friends. Would it have not made more sense to make this match for the right to go to WrestleMania to challenge Lashley for the championship? The last time we saw these two in the ring together a few weeks ago, they knocked each other out. There was no winner. It was a no contest. So both men could lay claim to having the right to go and challenge for the title of WrestleMania. Why not put that on the line? That's the one thing this match was missing, as good as it was. It would have been more dramatic if there was something at stake. And what should have been at stake is the title match at WrestleMania. So I don't understand that at all. That's why I thought Sheamus was going to win. When he lost, I was like, well, then this didn't make any sense. But look who we're dealing with. I should be more surprised if things actually do make sense. Poor Sheamus. There's no obvious spot for him at WrestleMania. He's not going to be added to this, making it a triple threat. Obviously, there's no need for that now. I don't know what you do with him. Put him in a battle royal? There's no obvious spot for him at WrestleMania. And Sheamus, you know, he's been putting the work in these last several months. He's been having a lot of really good matches. He had a really good series of matches with Matt Riddle. He had obviously very good matches with Drew McIntyre. He had a pretty good match with Bobby Lashley on TV last week. Even before he made his way to Raw, over on SmackDown, he and Big E, especially that last match they had, which I think might have been false count anywhere, I remember thinking that was a really good match too. Now this guy has no obvious match at WrestleMania. He's left out in the cold. Them's the breaks sometimes, right? We have Randy Orton. Oh, now we're getting to the good part. We have Randy Orton. One-on-one against Alexa Bliss. Let me just see what's going on in the chat here. The Samoan Joseph, I see him in the chat. Who else we got? Who else is with me here on Sunday night? I see Ken. I see Jonathan. Jonathan Coleman is in the chat. And we got a lot of familiar faces in here. Going to be going through your super chats in a little bit. So if you want to get them in, I will read them all. I want to know what you thought of this pay-per-view tonight. What did you think? Going to be an interesting Twitter poll here in a second. Randy Orton against his toughest challenge to date, Alexa Bliss. Randy Orton has met his match with a lot of guys in his career. I just watched Randy Orton on the Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold. Almost 2 hours long. Very good interview. Talked about all the guys that he wrestled in his career, from John Cena to Triple H and Batista and Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Edge, Drew McIntyre, everybody in between, Mark Henry, Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar. I mean, this guy's been around for a long time. He's had a 20-year career, almost 20 years. But this was his toughest challenge to date in Alexa Bliss. So you knew going in, this was going to be some kind of an angle. And if recent segments on television were any indication, I didn't have a lot of high hopes for this. And it pretty much went exactly the way I thought it would. This did not really shock me in any major way. Orton made his entrance. He was doing his douche pose on the ropes. When all of a sudden he started choking on black goo again. You know, Orton needs to stop eating those hot dogs from the concession stands before he comes out for these matches. How did this guy get clear? What doctor would clear? This keeps happening to him every single week. He is coughing up black goo. I would like to know what doctor is clearing him to go out there and wrestle every week. Alexa Bliss makes her entrance. She comes down to the ring. And she gets into the ring with her arms. She lowers the lights to a purplish hue. It's not red like the Fiend, but it's kind of like purple, like a purple haze. Very Jimi Hendrix-like vibe. Orton charges at her, and as he goes to charge at her, they shot this in such a way you could only see from, like, you know, his chest up. But a wall of flames shoots up and stops him from attacking Alexa Bliss. Stops him from getting at her. So he tries to charge in again. This time he goes shoulder first into the ring post. Alexa looks up at the lights. They're on the outside of the ring now about a minute later. Alexa looks up at the ceiling. This reminded me of what Jay White did. For those of you who don't know, there was an earthquake in Japan. And hopefully everybody is okay. But there was an earthquake in Japan yesterday morning. Right in the middle of a New Japan Cup show. And so Jay White was in the ring. It was like a tag team match. And he's looking up. And you can see the building is shaking, right? It's very scary. And they took a break, like 30 minutes. Then the show eventually resumed and the heels came back out. And so the match picked up. And then Jay White, in the middle of the match, is beating on Tanahashi. And all of a sudden, he starts looking up at the ceiling. Like, I thought maybe he felt like aftershocks or he felt more tremors. But he looks up at the ceiling and he's looking up at the lights and he starts to go like this. He's trying to will the lighting fixture to fall down. He is willing it down upon Tanahashi. So now I'm watching Alexa Bliss. She made me think of Jay White. Only time you'll ever hear me say that, by the way. And she's willing the light fixture to come down. And a second later, hey, Jay White must be jealous because the lighting fixture fell. It almost landed on Orton and killed him. That's exactly what Jay White was hoping would happen to Tanahashi. But he doesn't have the same magical powers that Alexa Bliss has. Ergo, I guess you could say that Alexa Bliss is better than Jay White. There, I said it. This proves it. So Orton narrowly escaped death. Alexa starts laughing. And now she's back in the ring. And she is taunting Randy Orton to get back into the ring. Come on, Randy. She's taunting Randy to come back into the ring. Slowly, he makes his way inside. She blows him a kiss. So Orton is standing there. Alexa has just blown him a kiss. And he doesn't quite know what to make of any of this. And Orton starts walking towards her and she shoots another fireball like the one she shot at his face many weeks ago. This fireball narrowly misses. All of a sudden, we see a charred hand come up from underneath the ring. It's got a glove on it. It looks very burned, right? Hand comes up from under the ring, grabs Orton by the foot. Orton wiggles free, and he is staring at this hole. All of a sudden, flames start to shoot out from this hole in the middle of the ring. And out from the hole emerges the Fiend. Finally, first time since December, first time since TLC, that we have seen the Fiend in the flesh, his burnt, charred flesh. He is standing there. His mask is all melted after he was burned alive at TLC. Orton has this shocked look on his face. He can't believe it. Bliss shoves him into the Fiend, who gives him Sister Abigail, and Alexa Bliss mounts Orton. That's what she did. She mounted Randy Orton. There is a match going on, so there's a referee in the ring, and the referee counts three. And Alexa Bliss defeats Randy Orton. In the record books, it's going to count as a win. It's going to count as a victory for Alexa Bliss over the 14-time world champion. This man is tied with Triple H for world titles. He's only three away from breaking Ric Flair's fake record. I guess it's John Cena's record, too. Pinned, beaten, defeated, embarrassed by Alexa Bliss. For all of the silly shit, I don't know if people are expecting me to just crap all over the match or not. I'm not going to do that because we all knew what this was going to be. Nobody in their right mind thought we were getting a match between Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton, where Randy Orton was going to be doing drop-down hip toss. You know, this was not going to be a wrestling match. We knew this was going to be some sort of angle. It played out pretty much the way I thought it would. For all of the silly shit that we saw here, and we saw a lot of silly shit, a lot of C-level horror movie shit in this match. As a horror fan, I have to give credit where credit is due. I thought the Fiend's mask looked pretty badass. In fact, I have a picture of it here so you guys can judge for yourselves. That's what the Fiend looked like. That was the Fiend's new look on the pay-per-view tonight. This gives me Jason Voorhees vibes, like from some of the later movies. Like, Jason looked more and more disgusting with each passing, like me, with each passing stream. Now, Jason looked more and more disgusting and disturbing with each passing movie, right? Or maybe Chucky, after Chucky was burned in one of the movies. But I love this. I love this because this is straight out of some of the classics. And this, the horror movie classics. And really, it's not much of a surprise, given that Bray had Tom Savini and his team create the Fiend mask for him in the first place. In fact, I assume they created this mask for him too. Or whatever touch-ups they did here to the Fiend mask, he probably went to Savini and his team and had them work on it for him. And as a horror movie fan, I love it. The man was burnt to a crisp 3 months ago. That right there is exactly how he should have looked. I thought he looked cool. In fact, here's another one. Here, wait, we got another picture here. Hold on. That one's even better. Here, look at this one. Again, it just gives me that Jason Voorhees vibe. I don't know what's going on with that vest. He looks like looks like a fisherman maybe who fell into the lake and couldn't quite swim. And then eventually sprung back to life. But I just look at that, and again, as a horror fan, I think that's just fucking cool. That's what it reminds me of when I look at that. So as far as the look is concerned and the mask and everything, I give him an A+ on that. I have to give him an A+ on that. Now, was it worth all the weeks of bad television to get to this point? Is that a good excuse to have all those weeks of fucking horrible segments on Monday Night Raw? Probably not. But I will hand it to them. I did love the look. So now the only question is, what kind of a match are Orton and The Fiend going to have at WrestleMania? Maybe some sort of live-action Firefly Funhouse match? Or they could just come up, I guess, with a totally different stipulation. I just cannot imagine that Randy Orton especially. Randy Orton made it very clear on the Broken Skull Sessions when they were talking about some of those pandemic shows last year and the promos he was cutting on Edge. He greatly miss, and I'm sure they all do, he greatly misses the live audience. He hates these empty arena shows with no fans. I cannot imagine that if they're going to have 25,000 people in the building on the night that Orton wrestles The Fiend, that's what they're aiming for each night at Mania, 25,000 people in the building each night. I just can't imagine that he or Bray would want their match to be cinematic where they're not wrestling and performing in front of a live audience. So whatever they're going to do, I assume it'll be in front of a live crowd. Again, maybe it's a different version of a Firefly Funhouse match. You know, after an Inferno match, where do you go from there, right? If things just sort of escalate, you can't really just go back to having a regular match. They're going to have some sort of gimmick match of Mania, and I'm just wondering exactly what that's going to be. But I don't think it's going to be cinematic like last year because these guys are going to want to be in front of people. Every single one of these men and women on that roster are going to want to perform in front of actual human beings. No one is going to want to have a cinematic match this year that's taped the day before or a week in advance. We don't even know if coming out of WrestleMania they're going to have people in the buildings or if it's just a one-shot deal. I assume it's just for WrestleMania. They're not going back on the road yet. So what do you think? What kind of stipulation could these two have? What could possibly top the idea of doing an Inferno match? Where do you go from there? What could top that? Whatever it is, it needs to be something that ends this feud once and for all. It has to be a stipulation worthy of a big climax of a major program. We had Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship with Edge as the ringside enforcer. Winner defends against Edge at WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan was frustrating Reigns early on in the match. A little bit of chain wrestling. Roman shut that shit down real quick. Made a comeback. Bryan at one point attempted a top rope hurricanrana. And Reigns held on to him. He countered it. Turned it into a Boston Crab. Bryan rolled through. Cradled Reigns for a near fall. Bryan hit the ropes, connects with an elbow to the jaw. Both guys now are down. Roman charges at Bryan. Bryan pulls down the top rope. Reigns goes flying out to the floor. Bryan goes for a springboard dive out onto Roman. Roman, it looked like he was supposed to catch him, and he didn't quite catch him. It almost looked like he turned it kind of into a power slam, but he didn't go all the way with it. He still tried to recover and pick him up. I would have just went all the way with the power slam. Just sell it like a power slam and then just pick him back up, put him on your shoulder. He was trying to send Bryan, I guess, lawn dart him or something into the ring post. Bryan escaped, shoves Reigns into the ring post instead. Bryan climbs up onto the apron, comes off with a great-looking flying knee right to the side of the head. Back inside, Bryan hits a missile drop kick, only gets a two count. Bryan launches into the yes kicks. Roman backs him into the corner, makes him regret. Makes him regret life choices, is what I wrote. He hit him with such a right hand. And then he was giving him these Muay Thai knees. He was making Daniel Bryan regret his life choices at this point. So Roman tries for a power bomb. Bryan takes him over with a Rana. Kick to the back of Roman's head, hooks the leg. Roman kicks out. Edge at this point is still a non-factor. Edge is on the outside of the ring, just kind of watching. He's making a grocery list, checking his Twitter. He's not doing anything. But you know the ref bump is coming. It is the only possible reason why Edge is out there as the enforcer. The referee is going to be incapacitated at some point, and Edge is going to have to step in. You know this. It was only a matter of time. Bryan stomps away on Roman's head. Transitions into the yes lock. Champ has no place to go. Reigns counters out of it, starts raining blows, or as Paul Heyman would say, raining blows. He's raining blows down upon Daniel Bryan. Muscles Bryan up for a power bomb, gets the stack pin for a near fall. So Bryan went for the running knee. Here we go. Daniel Bryan is going for the running knee. Roman Reigns dodges it, steps out of the way, and Bryan wipes out the referee. Roman hits Bryan with the spear. He goes for the pin. There's no referee. And so Edge slides into the ring. I love that super chat. Forgot who sent that to me. Look at the Big Show. Woo! AEW, baby. Look at that. Look at that. The Big Show is so excited. But the referee gets wiped out. Brian is taken down with a spear. Edge slides into the ring because there's no ref. Edge slides in to count the fall. Brian kicks out. And Michael Cole tells us on commentary that because of the referee being taken out, Edge now has the authority to step in as the official. I don't know that I've ever heard that before. I don't know that it was ever even described what a ringside enforcer does. Did they tell us? Did they make it clear before the match exactly what the role of the ringside enforcer was? Is he like the ultimate lumberjack who is supposed to keep these men in the ring? I mean, what exactly is their role? Well, we were told that the referee was just killed, and so now Edge can be the referee. They have no other referees in the back. Clearly they do, because another one came out a few minutes later. But apparently Edge has the authority. Even though I think he's hardly an impartial party here in this match. So Brian gets Reigns trapped in the triangle choke. Reigns gets up to his feet, but Brian takes him back down with another yes lock. Brian lets go. He starts hammering away on Roman Reigns with forearms, and then he locks it back on again. Here comes Jey Uso. Forgot about him. Jey Uso comes in, super kick to Edge, hits a super kick to Daniel Bryan, goes outside, grabs a steel chair. He posts Edge shoulder first. So Jey Uso takes Edge out of the picture. Bryan hits Jey with the running knee. And now Daniel Bryan sees the chair. Daniel Bryan starts beating down Jey Uso with the chair. His mouth is all busted up. I don't know what that was from. But he picks up the chair. He's waylaying Jey Uso with the chair. And then they did a takeoff. And I don't know if this was their intent, but this is what it was. They did a bit of a takeoff, not exactly the same thing, of the SummerSlam 1997 finish, which is actually one of the best finishes, I think, to a WWE pay-per-view main event that they've ever done. It was Bret Hart against The Undertaker for the championship. Shawn Michaels was the guest referee. This was the night that Bret won his fifth and final title. And we all know what happened there a few months later. But Bret and Shawn had no love lost. And Shawn sees that there's a chair, and he picks up the chair, and he spins Bret around and says, "Did you use this chair?" And Bret goes, No. I didn't. I have nothing to do with it. But Sean's not letting it go. He goes, "Look, you better not use this chair again because I'll disqualify you." And Bret just looks at him and goes, "Fuck you," and he spits at his face. He hawks a loogie right in Sean's face. Sean rears back with the chair. Bret ducks. And Shawn Michaels pastes the Undertaker right in the head with a steel chair. And Undertaker goes down. And so what happened here is that Brian accidentally hits Edge with the chair, even though he wasn't aiming for him. It was not his intent. He rears back, and he hits him with the chair. Now, he didn't hit him in the head, because this is not 1997 anymore. If this were 1997, Daniel Bryan would have knocked Edge's head right off his shoulders into the 15th row. Hit him in the elbow. He hit him in the arm. And down goes Edge. Reigns hits a Superman punch. He goes for the spear. Brian counters it into another yes lock. Reigns is fighting it. He's trying to get out of it. He's fighting it, and he's fighting it. And then all of a sudden, Roman Reigns begins to tap. The one thing he said he would never do. Roman Reigns was on TV on Friday night. He says, "I have never tapped in my career." He goes, "I would die before I tap out," right? That was the story coming into the match. Roman said, a man who has like five kids, said the championship is so important to him, he would rather die than ever tap out, let alone tap out to somebody like Daniel Bryan. And with no referee, here's Roman Reigns with nowhere to go, and he starts to tap. But there's no referee to see it. As Roman is tapping, here comes Edge. And Edge hits Daniel Bryan right in the back with the chair in retaliation for what Bryan accidentally just did to him. And he hits Roman Reigns with the chair. He hits Bryan again with the chair. Edge has snapped. And Edge is screaming, "This is mine. This is mine." He's red in the face. Throws the chair down. He walks out. in a fit of rage. Now a new referee comes down. Where the fuck was this guy before? He was on the shitter, I guess. Here comes a new referee down to the ring. And Roman Reigns crawls over on top of Daniel Bryan. He covers him for the three count, and he retains the Universal Championship. Roman Reigns is still your champion. Surprise, surprise, I know. And he will defend against Edge at WrestleMania. I thought this was a very good main event with the expected finish where Edge would get involved. Triple threat. Seems pretty obvious that we're getting a triple threat match at WrestleMania, but I would pose this idea. Not saying that I think there's a good chance of this happening, although I do think, hey, there's always a chance. It'll probably be a triple threat, and I think it'll be a damn good match. But maybe not. There is another way to go about doing this. I was thinking about this. What if instead of a triple threat, you've got two nights of WrestleMania? What if they went the way of what they did at WrestleMania 10? Now, that was all in one night. This would be broken up over the course of two. But what if they had, whether it was a coin flip to decide or what, a championship match on night one with Roman Reigns defending against either Edge or Daniel Bryan? And then whoever wins and walks out as the champion goes on to defend against the other person on night two. I'm thinking a triple threat is just a lot cleaner and probably the better idea of the two. But I pose that to you. What if they went the way of WrestleMania 10 and tweaked it where you had one match on one night and one match on another? You got two nights of WrestleMania. You've got two nights of WrestleMania. I'm sure one night will be reserved for the WWE title. That's why they won't do that. But they could, if they wanted to, break it up over the course of two nights. Just an idea that I throw out there. I think the story of this pay-per-view, I think the story of this show is that first hour, man, this show was going nowhere fast. I was ready. I couldn't, my thumb was going down so hard. And then those last few matches, it picked it back up. This to me was the definition of a thumbs in the middle, which is why in the Twitter poll that I'm going to show you in a second, this was... Yeah, I put that as an option. I thought this was a thumbs-in-the-middle effort. I can't say that this was a horrible pay-per-view when you had a match like the main event and like the one that Drew and Sheamus had. I mean, you take those two away, you have a whole pile of nothing. Those two matches at least got it to that middle level for me. But what has not changed, my opinion has not changed, this was a totally unnecessary show. This show did not have to happen. This show happened because they wanted this to be the first show of the Peacock era and not WrestleMania. That's it. That's it. This is not a show that was needed. It felt very forced. And I don't know if that means they going forward should try to reconfigure their pay-per-view schedule or what, or just ditch the show. But you don't need more than you have the chamber. You don't need more than the chamber between Rumble and WrestleMania. It's just not needed. It's not necessary. That, to me, is the story of Fastlane. That was the story of Fastlane when they first had Fastlane as a pay-per-view many years ago. Or remember they had that Roadblock show? Wasn't that the one where Triple H wrestled Dean Ambrose at Roadblock? These are just, they're cash grabs. They're unnecessary. But I would go thumbs in the middle on this show. What is all of this news that is going up and down my chat here? What's going on here? Let's take a look. Let us take a look and see. Do we have some breaking news in the chat? Let's see. Let's see if we got some breaking news here. Let's see what's going on. It looks like there might be. There was a very cryptic tweet that went up during the pay-per-view, a little after the pay-per-view started, from Andrade. And I'm wondering if that news has anything to do with him. I'm just checking real quick to see if there's any news that broke here while I don't see anything. So he did post something a little earlier, though, about him being very happy. And it kind of seemed to me like maybe the company had a change of heart and did give him their release, but I don't see anything official on it. So if that should change, I'm sure you guys will let me know. But look, it's what makes sense. This poor guy is being, effectively, he's being punished for no reason. I'm sure he just wants to go out there and wrestle. He just wants to go out there and work. He's a very, very talented guy in the ring. He just needs a little bit of help, you know, in a company that really relies very heavily on promos and verbal skills. English is not his first language. It's just his promos are not very good at all. And they did him no favors by splitting him away from Zelina Vega. Then Zelina Vega got fired, so she's not even an option anymore. But if you have Charlotte pitching an idea for her to do something with Andrade on TV, yeah, again, I pitched the same idea months ago. It's a no-brainer. But he was never a priority for the company, so Charlotte is like their queen bee. They don't want to associate her with somebody who they have no plans for, because what's the point? So this poor guy is just toiling there, wasting away. Clearly, he wants out, and they wouldn't let him out. So if they've had a change of heart, then that's the right move to make. If both parties are not happy with each other, then they should amicably part ways. Let the guy go. Let the guy go spread his wings and work somewhere else. If you don't see the value in him, then what are you so worried about? Let him go work overseas. Let him go work in AEW or some other company. I just don't understand that. I don't understand the mentality. I'm not aware of him signing a new contract recently. I mean, I assume he's still working off of his original deal, but I don't know. You know, when we hear stories about guys who re-sign with the company, who are very unhappy where they are, but then at the 11th hour, they get convinced because, oh my God, they're offering so much money, I'm going to sign another 3-year deal or another 5-year deal. And then 6 months later, they're on Twitter posting cryptic shit because they're unhappy. Those are the people I have no sympathy for. Because when you re-signed, you knew what you were getting yourself into, right? You had already had this horrible experience. And yet you went back to that same horrible experience because you thought, well, you know, hey, the money is just too hard to turn down. Well, hey, you dance with the devil, you're going to get burned. In this case, I don't know what his contract status is or was, if he re-signed or if he was just waiting and counting down the days on his contract to run out. But I felt badly for the guy. Let's go to the WWE Twitter. Let's just see if it's official. I really hope it's true. There's no reason to hold this guy hostage anymore. This guy could be killing it. Any promotion in the world. Not even this country. Any promotion in the world. Let's see if they've made any kind of announcement. There it is. WWE has come to terms on the release of Andrade. We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. I'm very happy to hear that. Long overdue. Now we'll see where he lands. Zelina Vega is a free agent as well. I would love to see the two of them link back up together in another promotion. And it doesn't even have to be AEW. It could be somewhere else. You know, I was talking the other week about the fact that Andrade has friends working in Ring of Honor, right? I mean, he's got friends with Rush and Dragon Lee and some of these other luchadors that are out there. He could land back in Mexico. He might just go right back to Mexico. But we're about to get the return of La Sombra. Yeah, let's get all the celebratory emojis in the chat. You got Rush, Dragon Lee, La Sombra all together. Maybe with Zelina Vega and Ring of Honor. That'd be a huge coup for ROH if they could pull it off. You know, I don't know what his desire is as far as working in this country or somewhere else. I know he's in a relationship with Charlotte. I can't imagine that he would want to venture too far away. ROH might be the best bet for him. If I'm Ring of Honor, I'm making a play for him. I'm making a play for Zelina. I'm putting them all together. You know, MLW already has, they have Selena De La Renta. And a bunch of other very talented people. Ring of Honor would be a bigger platform, I think. But wherever he lands, congrats to Andrade. That is great news. Very happy to hear that. So, let's go through your messages. This is where I throw it to you guys. And you guys are going to let me know what you thought of this show here tonight. And we'll get some music going here in the background. Because it's a party. We're celebrating tonight. Andrade got his release. Andrade has been freed. The shackles have been taken off. This man can breathe again. In 3 months' time, there's no telling where he may land. Unless WWE throws a bunch of money at him and they convince him to come back. And then I will lose all respect for him. Then I will have no sympathy for what comes next. So again, if you want to send it a super chat, you may do so. We'll start here with Manny D. Manny D. Let's see here. Manny D, Solid Monster, you sexy beast. You lie. But I thank you. Ryan Spies, who I know became a member of the channel tonight. Ryan, I thank you. I thank you for your support each and every week. Two things, as someone who doesn't like the Fiend gimmick, that new look is terrifying. And Orton should start carrying a cross on TV to keep Bray away. Steve Heredia, Mr. Monster, I like the main event. Do you see a one-on-one match, or will WWE go with that triple threat? It's going to be a triple threat. I mean, I just put the idea out there for maybe doing one match on night one and one match on night two with Roman. But I'm fairly certain that we'll end up with a triple threat. And if they want Edge to walk out with the championship, he pins Bryan and not Roman. That way Roman is protected from taking the pin. Rizzo, thank you for the $5. Only thing I watched on this pay-per-view was the Orton-Alexa match. And that was just to see the Fiend. Doar with the $5. I kept forgetting about this pay-per-view, but it's Sunday, and I know what that means. Can't forget about the Solid Monster. TH Revolution, thank you for the $12. Very cool. Glad I stuck with the network for this from what I heard about Peacock. Liked everything after the first hour, which sucked. Definitely seems like they are building to a triple threat at WrestleMania. Rodimus Prime with the $10. Very unnecessary pay-per-view. That's all I have to say. James Hollins. Who stole the show? The Fiend or Daniel Bryan? Well, Daniel Bryan is always great. Daniel Bryan steals the show most of the time. When you put him in the ring for 15 minutes, 20 minutes with another very good opponent, Daniel Bryan's going to kill it every single time. Giovanni Zarate, thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar, my friend. That is the $4.99 tier, and the $9.99 tier where you get the retro audio coming soon, that's the Sound Off Legend tier. So, Giovanni, thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar. I appreciate it. Lance Morrell, thank you for the $5. Skyline with the $20 super chat drop. I would like to dedicate this to Linda, who is like a mother to me. I grew up with her going to WWF shows. From Shawn and Diesel to Brett and Diesel in a cage, WrestleMania 19, etc. We love and miss you. Shout out to Linda. Thank you, Sky. Zachary Antares with the $5 super chat. Dude, I love the horror homages from The Fiend. New Fiend look is fire. Said it was the only thing about that I liked was his look. I thought he came off looking like a badass. But all this black magic and stuff, I think it's time we wind that down. Jacob Barnes, overall, my experience watching on Peacock was okay, but they need to add a rewind feature on live events, and they need to let you watch the event from the beginning, even if you got a late start. I've done that a lot of times on the network, especially I come in late to the pre-show. And that's one of the reasons also why I had to watch on the network tonight. I don't know if they plan on adding that or not on Peacock, but that's that, and also on classic content. Again, they don't have match markers. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever I watch, or for the history segment, if I have to refer back to an old show, those match markers where you can skip directly to the chapter, I know for a lot of people can be very helpful. So I'm hoping that's something that Peacock plans to add. It may not be part of their UI. You know, it might not just be part of their platform. Steve Joseph, thank you for the $1. Appreciate it. Angel Silva, shout out to DB for kneeing that ref. He was hella annoying throughout the match. But hey, that referee took a wicked bump from the knee. That he did. He was no Earl Hebner, but he did take a good bump. Mongol PSR with the $20 super chat. I've been a little surprised at your disdain for the Randy Orton Alexa Bliss stuff since you're such a horror fan. Do you think that in some little way Wyatt went away a bit because of John Huber's death? I don't. I know it seemed to affect him a lot. You know, when he put that blog out, you could see how hurt he was. But the Fiend had already been burned alive before Huber, a few weeks before Huber passed away. So I think this was always the plan, you know? I mean, the guy got burned on a pay-per-view, head to toe. You can't just have him back on TV a few weeks later. I give them credit for holding him out as long as they did. I don't think one affected the other, though. Scott Martin says that was an okay show. Joe Olivo, Retribution, rest in peace, 2020 to 2021. Mongol again donated an extra $5 for misspelling John Hubbard's name. Well, you misspelled it twice. So if you want to throw in another $5, it's H-U-B-E-R. No, you don't have to do that. I knew who you meant. Chris Quillman with the $10. Also, I know Chris joined as a new member. A new Sound Off channel member tonight. Thank you, Chris. He says, just give me TakeOver and WrestleMania. I joined the solo order. And I thank you for that. King Bling with the $5. What do you want and think we will see at WrestleMania? Daniel Bryan, Roman, and Edge in a triple threat. Roman against Edge with Bryan as the special ref. Or Roman versus Edge one-on-one. Want and think. I would want to see a triple threat, and I'm normally not a fan of doing a multi-man match in like a WrestleMania main event, but I think in this case it's warranted. I think in this case it would be a very good match. Look, we haven't seen a whole lot of Edge since he came back. The thing is, we've now seen Edge in two singles matches on television. We saw him after the Royal Rumble. He had a television main event on Raw against Randy Orton. We saw him on SmackDown this week have a television main event against Jey Uso. In both matches, he looked okay. He did not look great. I look at this WrestleMania main event and I say to myself, I think he'll go in there and have the best possible match he can have. But Daniel Bryan will make the match that much better. I don't want to see Daniel Bryan with striped shirts on. Daniel Bryan does not need to be a referee at WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan as a referee at WrestleMania would be a fucking crime against humanity. Whether it's the main event or the opening match, Daniel Bryan needs to be wrestling. That's what he does best. Wrestles. He wrestles. So what do I want and what do I think? They're both the same thing. I think we're going to get a triple threat. Oz and Glorious is a sound-off superstar. He has joined as a new member. Thank you, Oz. You like the emojis? We'll be adding more as time goes on. Ken Terminated, I mentioned your message earlier, but I thank you again for your $3. Tokes Kazim, did the Fiend swim in Vince's good shit? He swam in something. I don't know what it was, but he swam in something. GV, was Apollo Crews scammed by his own gimmick? Is that a Nigerian prince joke? There's something I haven't heard before. Thank you, GV. Tanya with the $2. Ryan Spies, did you see Low-Key whine on Twitter over a move that Seth used in his match? If Low-Key was whining on Twitter, then that puts a smile on my face. So, was he whining on Twitter? Good. Good. If he or Austin Aries are whining about something on Twitter, that's a good thing. The Genius says, I signed the contract for our match. You will lose. We'll see about that. Misty Cat, thank you for the $5. KO against Sammy should be a banger. Those two have always had great matches in the past. I don't know when they've had a bad match. They've just had too many of them. But I don't think they've ever had a bad match before. That Joe Guy, thank you for the $20 super chat. No message, just showing love. Showing love and support, man. I appreciate that. Zhang Su 102. No, the Irish whip is used way too much. Ban it. Close second. Surprise roll up. Ryan Spies again. Randy's black goo is a great anti-smoking PSA. You know what? Randy used to be a smoker. Now I think he's a vapor. He's a vapor? He's a viper. Ah, you see what I did there? There you go. There you go. The viper is a vapor. Domination warrior. Guess you would say he's a fried fiend without flavor. Oh my God. Domination warrior. What are you doing to me here? Dad jokes on my stream? Really? Dad jokes now? Joe Olivo with the $20. The Fiend is back and more demonic than ever. The Fiend kind of looks like Kane in 1997, only shorter and fat, who lives in a dirty swamp. Well, that doesn't make the Fiend sound very cool at all. Here I was saying I think his mask makes him look badass. And now you're calling him a shorter, fat version of Kane. That's not a compliment. Misty Cat, hopefully Apollo wins the Intercontinental title of WrestleMania and transitions the belt onto Cesaro at the next pay-per-view. King Bling, Orton against The Fiend, exploding barbed wire death match. Very good. Very good. Well, at least we know if they do it that the explosions will work. At least we know that. Jack Winan. You'd think they were making ASMR content with how intensely they were jacking up the volume on Reigns, Edge, and Bryan speaking. Rizzo. Andrade just got released. I wonder if this is WWE starting to soften up about refusing to let people go. No, what this is WWE probably bowing to the pressure. Either the pressure from outside forces or pressure from not wanting to piss off the Queen. It caused problems with Charlotte Flair, who is already looking at opportunities beyond WWE. Now I hear that she's signed up for a movie or a TV show or something that she's going to be filming soon. You got to keep the queen happy. That's what I think this is. Either way, it was the right move to make. Long overdue. Sean Waters with the $25 super chat. Thank you, Sean. Looks Andrade got his release just now. Do you think this affects Charlotte in any way? Still say Asuka, Flair, Rhea in a triple threat of Mania. What say you? I just talked about that on the podcast today. If Charlotte is going to be on the WrestleMania card, and I'm sure she will, then it should be a triple threat match. Absolutely. And that's how you can get the title on Rhea Ripley. Is... you know, whether she pins Charlotte to get her revenge from last year or she pins Asuka. But I think that she should walk out of WrestleMania with the championship. They're not bringing Rhea Ripley to Monday nights this week unless she is going to be on the WrestleMania card. There is no obvious other spot for her other than challenging for the championship. Chambly Game. Or Chambly Games with the $10. Love your show. I missed the show because I was at work. Congrats on Andrade finally being released. Maybe now he can go somewhere and be used properly. Maybe he can go somewhere and be used, period. I think we need to lower the bar here. He wasn't even on television. If he goes anywhere and just wrestles a match, it'll be more than what WWE was doing with him. Brianna with the $5. It's true. It's damn true. Indeed it is. Jay Williams, thank you for the $2. Jay Williams with the $5. Do you think WrestleMania will have enough star power this year? I know the whole card has not been announced, but it looks like it good... wait. But it looks like it could be bad. I assume that was going to say it looks like it will be bad. We have to just see how the card comes along. It's a very... thrown together card. This card does not scream WrestleMania. And I think the reason is because of poor planning. A lot of these matches clearly were put together in the last 2 weeks. That's how they're booking WrestleMania now. They're clearly booking WrestleMania at the last minute, weeks in advance. When you do that, you end up with a card like the one that we see on paper. You end up with a match like AJ Styles and Omos wrestling for the meaningless Raw Tag Team titles. You end up with Braun Strowman in a Nickelodeon challenge against Shane McMahon. If that's a WrestleMania card to be proud of, then I question your expectations. I question what's the word I'm looking for here? I question exactly what you think a good WrestleMania card would look like. If you think that those matches scream WrestleMania. Pedro Velasquez. Hi, Solid Monster. I just got home. I went out to spend time with my family, therefore I missed the pay-per-view. And the majority of your podcast, did I miss anything good in the pay-per-view? The two main events. Watch Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan and Drew McIntyre against Sheamus. Ignore everything else. If you just watched those two matches, you would come away thinking that this was a 7.5 or 8 out of 10. You watch everything else, and that score comes down. So do yourself a favor and just watch those two matches. James Hollins, how would you feel if Aleister Black attacks Karrion Kross at TakeOver after he beats Finn Balor? I think it would be great. I think putting him back on NXT, it would feel like a step back, but better than anything they could be doing with him right now on the main roster. Mads, Roman's in-ring work has low-key gotten even better. I noticed that from the moment he came back. He's definitely stepped up his game. Cack Burlington, Solid Monster, Lex Luger does not like your WrestleMania idea. Oh, poor Lex. The guy drove around in a fucking bus for 2 months and had nothing to show for it. Of course he doesn't like my idea. Powerful One. Andrade doing his best Dr. King impression right now. Free at last, thank God Almighty. I am free at last. I kind of picture Andy Dufresne from the Shawshank Redemption when he crawls through the tunnel of shit out onto the other side and it's pouring rain outside and he just looks up. That's kind of the image I have in my head. Somebody needs to do up that photo for me, tweet it to me, put Andrade's face, put his head on Andy Dufresne, and send that to me. James Hollins, what if they told the same story with the Fiend that was told with Freddy Krueger and Freddy vs. Jason that Alexa is in control until Bray gets all of his strength back? I don't think we need to overcomplicate things. But it does remind me that I have to watch Freddy vs. Jason again. I haven't seen it since I saw it in the movie theater when it first came out. One of the only movies, or one of the first movies I ever saw in the theater, where people, when it was over and the credits rolled, gave it a standing ovation. That was a fun movie. Derek Jackson with the 10 bucks. I'd rather watch those 10 episodes of WCW Saturday Night before I ever see this pay-per-view again. Brian Becerra with the $15. Got to see Fastlane on the network for the last time because it's gone for me tomorrow. The show was just thumbs in the middle. First hour was meh. After that, it was a little bit better. And he says, cheers to Andrade, which is what I said before. We gotta celebrate for Andrade. We got to celebrate for Andrade. Cheers to him. El Idolo. El Idolo. He's free. I'd give a Charlotte Flair woo, but I would wake up the whole neighborhood. Can't be doing that. It's almost midnight. Juan Ocampo. Your defining or favorite moment, he says, of the network era. Oof. I don't know. I mean, we've gotten a lot of really great matches during the network era. I'm trying to think of the moment that defines it. It might be the Daniel Bryan stuff. I mean, that literally came right after the network formed, right? The network launched in February of 2014. And in April, we had WrestleMania 30, which is one of the best WrestleMania shows in the last decade plus that they've done. I think the Bryan stuff has to be up there. I associate the NXT takeovers as part of the network era because that's after the network launched is when we started seeing those great takeover shows. So there's a lot of NXT TakeOver main events and moments I associate with the network era. So, yeah, I mean, that would probably be my answer to that. Mongol with another $10. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Do not with the $5. Can't ever make these lives. Can't ever make these live, I think is what he meant. But glad I did here tonight. Day one supporter. Good show tonight. Keep up the good work. And here's to you. Thank you, brother. That's quite a while he's been here for. Day one. You'll be getting some of those day one episodes of the Sound Off if you are a Sound Off member. You join the channel on the $9.99 tier. You're going to be getting the lost episodes coming soon. I cringe when I listen to myself from 2007, 2008, 2009. You're going to get to hear me in all my glory. For those of you who join. The cheeseburger. The new Fiend looks like a rejected Power Rangers villain. Oz and Glorious, I had to Google the Fiend. Nice to see WWE Creative is a big fan of the classic Wispy meme. I don't know that I'm aware of that meme. Wispy meme? I don't know what that is. Bliss fan in the chat says the show is awesome. Well, I mean, Bliss fan would be very happy. Alexa Bliss got a win tonight. She got a win over Randy Orton. I wonder if that launches her in contention for Bobby Lashley's WWE Championship. We may be getting Lashley against Alexa Bliss very soon. Turtlehead, I'm pushing for the Roman, Bryan, and Edge triple threat given what each have gone through medically. I don't care who wins. It is pretty amazing if you think about it, right? If we end up getting a triple threat at WrestleMania, two-thirds of that match will be comprised of men who were forced into early retirement and who a lot of people thought would never, ever wrestle in a WWE ring ever again. And now they're potentially going to be in the WrestleMania main event. That's pretty cool. Isaiah Webb, La Sombra against Rey Fénix. The Ravishing Richard Ruin with the $10 super chat. Show sucked. Spear Mania happening this year. Bryan against HBK since Sean is regretting his last... his last match, I Am a Legend. Worth the $10 a month. Love the show. Thank you, Richard. Yeah, Shawn Michaels said the other day to Bleacher Report that he regrets coming back for that Crown Jewel match in 2018. I think we all do. I think we all regret that decision. I don't think Shawn is the only one. Do I see Luis in the chat just joined as a Sound Off legend? Is that Luis? Is that the man himself? Thank you, Luis. That's very kind of you. Do Not says, FYI, I'm the one that sent you the Gangrel shout-out about 10 years ago. Yeah, that's right, I do remember that. I still have that saved. He was at a probably a convention, right, you were at? And he got Gangrel to shout out the podcast. And he stuck his tongue out. He did the whole Gangrel thing. Gangrel just seems like a really cool dude. I've never met him. I've never interviewed him or anything. But whenever I hear him in interviews and stuff, or people tell stories about him, because, you know, I think he has a school. I know he's trained some guys. I don't think I've ever heard a bad word about him. He seems like a pretty chill dude. And Jake Rann. Can't wait for Andrade and Vega against Cody and Brandy. I could see, you know what? I could see them making that match too. I could see that becoming a match. Josh B, thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar. Again, if you're wondering what all the membership stuff is in the sidebar, you can click the join button down below. It'll give you all the details. Just opened up yesterday. It's brand new. Took me a while. I know a lot of other people have had memberships open on channels, but now we have them open here as well. So if you want some perks and you want to be able to use some emojis and stuff in the live chat, that is the place to go. Gannon in the chat says, fanging and banging. That's right, Gangrel has a school in Tampa. Well, there you go. I thought it was that maybe based out on the West Coast. But I might be thinking of Rikishi. That might be where Rikishi's school is. Rikishi is supposed to be training Bow Wow. I don't know if Bow Wow has reported to wrestling school yet. I'm going to say the Bow Wow ain't going to show up. But Rikishi is ready to train him. Apparently they had an agreement. I don't think Bow Wow has showed yet. We'll see if Bow Wow lives up to his promise and shows up. So is that, I think that's it as far as the Super Chat. I think we're all caught up. I think we are all caught up on Super Chats, which is great. Loving it. Loving the support. Paul Heyman in the chat wants to know, how do we subscribe to the Solid Monster OnlyFans? Well, I haven't set that up yet. I have to buy my sexy gear. I haven't been to any shopping malls recently. I haven't gone clothes shopping. At that point, maybe I'll open up an OnlyFans. That way you'll get some Solid Monster racy photos, right? I know you're all dying for that. Where's that Seth Rollins vomit super chat when you need it? There he is. Here's the man. Luis, love being a Sound Off legend. Fastlane gets a 3 out of 10. This show is a waste of time. Screw Peacock. See, I can't go 3 out of 10 because of those last two matches. You take those two matches out, I go 2 or 3 out of 10. With those matches, I gotta go 5. 5-ish, maybe 6. Very middle of the road show. Very middle of the road show. So if you missed it, for those who may be tuning in late here before we wrap everything up, we did the Wrestle Rumble contest a little bit earlier on. We picked 5 winners at random. If you paid for an entry through WrestleRumble.com and want to go back, you have the ability, unlike Peacock, which does not give you the ability to go back live, you can, in fact, go back live here on this channel and just rewind and see the contest that you may have missed. We also had breaking news here during the stream. Andrade received his release. Andrade got his wish. He got his release from WWE. Of course, news like that would break on a Sunday night after I've already done the podcast earlier today. But I'm very happy for Andrade. We were all celebrating before and having a nice drink for the guy. And hopefully in 3 months, when his non-compete is up, he will pop up somewhere and he will kill it. And he will make WWE realize what they're missing out on him. But I do hope that wherever he lands, that they do pair him off with somebody, whether it's Vega, you know, Zelina Vega or somebody else. Because I do think that, you know, it works better when he has somebody who can cut the promos for him and be a mouthpiece for him. Is he going to put the mask back on? There's a lot of questions. We don't know. But wherever he lands, it's going to be very hard for them to do any worse with him than what WWE was doing. One of the biggest wastes of talent they had on that roster. Aleister Black is on that list. Ricochet is also on that list. Yeah, there's a lot of NXT guys who really got fucked over when they got called up to the main roster because one man did not believe in them. He did not see the value in them. And that can be a very frustrating thing. I'd like to see Aleister Black get his walking papers as well. Maybe he doesn't want them. Maybe he hasn't, you know, requested his release. But you can't tell me that these guys are happy and satisfied with their careers at this point. I respect Andrade for taking a stand and saying, you know, even though he probably makes good money and his girlfriend works there, he says, you know what, I'm not happy. I'd like to leave. I respect that. I have a lot of respect for that. Ryan Blair with a $20 super chat. There he is. Found myself nodding off at a friend's house while watching Fastlane. Drive home listening to the review show to stay awake and just got home safe. Well, I'm very happy to hear that. All right, guys, I think we're all caught up here. Unless there's any final messages, we'll give it another minute here. But this has been fun. I hope you enjoyed the stream joining me more than you did the pay-per-view tonight. There probably are a lot of people who watched the stream and had more fun just kicking back with me and everybody else than they did watching this fucking pay-per-view tonight. I only hope that, you know, we got 2 nights of WrestleMania coming up next month. I hope we have, in front of actual people, you know, a fun WrestleMania show. As, you know, haphazardly as they have put this card together, there's just something different about being able to perform in front of a live audience. And they're going to be doing that for the first time in a very long time. And so those shows are going to have a totally different vibe. And I just hope that, you know, we can just sit back and enjoy what will hopefully be a very good WrestleMania. There's no way this WrestleMania can be as bad as it was to watch a bunch of matches last year in an empty building. In that empty, quiet warehouse. That is not WrestleMania. Nobody wants to see WrestleMania that way. At least this year we're going to have actual living, breathing people and human beings in the audience. And that is what I am looking forward to. Derek Jackson, Andrade against Kenny Omega for the AEW Championship. Book it now, Tony Khan. Well, you do realize that if you book that match, you're going to have all of the people on social media going, there's Tony Khan. He's booking another WWE guy in the main event. You can't just send Andrade to the main event. He may go to AEW. I think he'd be a fine addition. But no, you can't. You cannot just go into Kenny Omega against Andrade. Because then you're just feeding into the narrative. Juan Ocampo, you laughing at WrestleMania 30, best moment of the network era. You know what? That's a great point. That's a great point. When the cameras caught me at the Superdome, I think I was the only person at first when they were showing all the fan reactions when the Undertaker streak got broken. And I was not happy about that, but I was so like amazed that they would even make that decision. All I could do was laugh. So if you watch right before, I guess it would have been Justin Roberts made the announcement about Brock Lesnar being the winner. I'm in that last fan shot that they showed, like in the lower right-hand corner. I'm wearing glasses, and I'm just laughing my ass off. Everybody else has this look of, like, shock and disgust on their face. I'm just laughing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They fucking ended the streak against Brock Lesnar, of all people. 21 years of this shit. That's true. I am part of one of the all-time moments in WWE history. I am forever etched. I'm still waiting on my royalty check, but I guess with the network, none of the people get royalties anymore. I haven't gotten a single check from this company. Kira Zabel. I miss when tapping out was a big deal and embarrassing to a superstar. Happy to see it was brought back, at least for now. Are you talking about Roman Reigns? I assume. Thank you for the $5, Kira Zabel. I appreciate it. Senor in the chat wants to know, why isn't that a super chat? You know what? It might be. I'll tell you what. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I will make that a super chat. You'll see me in the lower corner. Smiley. I'll have to like put a circle around my head so people know what they're looking at. Maybe I'll make that a super chat. Ufman. 7 years and no check. I know. It's been 7 years. I'm still waiting on my royalty check. I want all the royalties backdated, everything they owe me, with interest. I'm still waiting on that check. Who do I have to call? Do I have to call Carano? Do I have to call John Laurinaitis? You know, people power. Do I have to call him? Do I have to call Bruce? Do I have to go find Kevin Dunn or somebody? Who do I have to talk to? All right, one more look at the Twitter poll, and then we'll get on out of here. Again, you could always vote in these polls. You guys know that. On Twitter, at Solomonster. You know the deal. We are all in agreement here. 40% of you are in agreement with me. This was a thumbs-in-the-middle show. We have over 1,400 votes in. So please, go ahead on Twitter, follow me on there, and vote in the poll. Oh, my. Andrade is number 1,987 to the Nightmare Family, says the cheeseburger. I don't think the Nightmare Family needs any more family members. James Stevenson with the, pounds, $9.99 in pounds, $13. $13 and change super chat. This was the best pay-per-view, he says, of the Peacock era. Well, that it was. There it is. This was the best pay-per-view of the Peacock era. James Stevenson, you are correct, sir. I cannot argue with you on that. It most certainly was. If you would be so kind, on your way out, click that join button and take a look at what's offered. If you want to become a member of the Sound Off family on YouTube, you get perks like early access to special features like RSPW Rewind. When the next one goes up, you'll get it at least a day or two before everybody else. Exclusive Q&A videos, access coming soon to the lost episodes of the Sound Off going back well over a decade, not found anywhere else. Everybody who joined tonight, we had at least a dozen, maybe more, people joined tonight. I appreciate the hell out of each and every single one of you. I thank you for that. And I'm going to get on out of here, so you guys have yourselves a great night. Thank you for all of the support. I'm going to be live on YouTube with you again this Wednesday, immediately after AEW Dynamite, as I am each and every Wednesday. I will hopefully see you there as well, and hopefully you'll be part of our little family on Wednesday nights. And then I think we have one more Dynamite review right at the week after, I think is the final one, I believe, for the month of March. So we got two more. And then all the fun stuff kicks off in April. We got a lot of content, a lot of streams, a lot of shit going on in the month of April. And I hope you guys will join me for all of that fun stuff. So be well, stay safe, have yourselves a fantastic night. Everybody in the chat, all my mods, all my new members, I thank you so much. And I will see you guys for more Sound Off coming up Wednesday night after the Dynamite stream, and I guess next month for WrestleMania. Until then, take care, guys.